Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Normally, this is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso throughout Northwest Indiana, but this is a special edition checking in with artists of what they're doing during the COVID-19 issue that's going on. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspective Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. That theme music you heard at the opening is by Billy and Renee Foster, and we'd like to thank them. Our underwriters are Brower Museum at Valparaiso University, Mary Levan, an art patron, and Walt Breininger of Paragon Investments. Always thanks to Greg Kovach, the station manager, but we are actually doing this in my remote studio in Chesterton, Indiana. Art on the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowments for the Arts. Currently, we're not taking information about your arts or arts-related events, but you can contact us at artontheair@gmail.com. And send us information. We know that the arts events calendar will be up and running when we get back. Our program, along with all the programs, stream live at WVLP.org. On the air, we broadcast on Mondays at 5 p.m. You can hear an entire show archive at breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. And we are carried on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM every Sunday at 7 p.m. We always are looking for underwriter support. We'll just briefly mention that you can do that at wvlp.org/support. But the purpose of this show is to interview our artists and what they're doing in their downtime as we're all sheltering in place and how they're being creative and everything. So we're going to move on to that segment right now with various artists that we brought on. And now we continue with Art on the Air. We have John Habella here, and he's going to be talking about what the things do. Welcome to the show on Art on the Air.
Aloha, John.
Nice to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Well, tell us a little bit about your multi-talented, is how Esther has listed you, what you do.
Well, I started off about 45 years ago doing like wood carvings. I was influenced a little bit by things that I made, folk carvings, that kind of thing, and then driftwood and so on. Then I went to eventually ended up in metal, and I started doing a little bit of metal welding and stuff like that, and I do all my crazy creatures out in the yard. And I also have done painting and graphic work that I've attributed over Facebook and so on, so some people know.
And all of it innovative and exquisitely made. You're just phenomenal, John.
I appreciate that from my president of my fan club.
Definitely the president.
Yeah. Well, you're the one and only member, so you've got to be, in that prestige position,
I think it's a vast number of people.
Anyway, so how's the COVID-19 thing impacted you?
Well, I've been starting to wear clothing that branches out 6 foot in diameter so that I, keep my distance. That's one thing. I'm just thinking about designing a new fashion, that is predicated on the 6 foot outreach.
And so somebody bounces when they get to
the car. Exactly. It's like this major human bumper car thing, we'd all be safe, but we'd be able to get around. Anyway, it's really a tragic time, I think. I mean, I've gone through a couple of things in my lifetime, like the thing that reminded me was Kennedy's assassination, and the world shut down, and then, of course, 9/11 and on the other major events, and wow.
Yeah, I know, wow.
We can't even begin
to fathom it.
But I mean, the way I deal with it is I'm working on a couple drawings, and one has kind of intensified itself because of it. I think it's just from all the stuff just coursing through you, because you can't get away from it. And it's not under our control. It's controlling us in a sense, because mentally and physically, we're doing weird stuff that we haven't done before. So I don't know. Maybe this is a day of reckoning, not in terms of apocalyptic, but in the way that we just create a new paradigm for the next step in our evolution here in 2020, So I don't know. Think too much on it, but,
What are you wanting to do after this COVID-19 thing passes?
In terms of my artwork?
Oh, both, personal and your artwork.
Well, when this passes, just want to take that extra energy that you get from something that's over with, that was kind of dire, and use it to create my environment. That's what I'm concentrating on in this portion of my life. I've done the artwork all the way for 40 or years or more, and now I have this giant yard that is a park, and I'm distributing my work around it. My wife and I go out there and do the gardening and set everything up. And at one given point in the summertime, it's beautiful. So, you know, I mean, it's my own personal park that sooner or later I'll invite people to. But
It's so gorgeous. Actually, John, you're like the last person I saw before we kind of went into isolation.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was a good day. That was a good day. But that's kind of the personal and the abstract of what I do every day. This just kind of brought home the human aspect of how quickly things can pass.
That's for sure. Any final thoughts before we wrap up here, John?
No, except that I'm glad you called, and I would probably enjoy do that, but, you know, I'll go all over the place. That's my problem. Okay.
Well, we're listening to John Habella. He's in Chesterton there, and we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air, sharing your thoughts with us.
Thank you very
much. Take care.
Everybody.
Give Ella a safe hug.
I will do that.
And our next guest on our special edition of Art in the Air is Anne-Marie Marty of Mighty Mirth, and she's the creator of that. And thank you for joining us today.
Aloha.
My pleasure. For inviting me.
Tell us a little bit about your art and background, what you do with Mighty Mirth.
Well, Mighty Mirth is a cartoon character that came to me out of the ethers during the build-up to the Iraq War, actually. And I think that he or she was kind of a gift to me to have something positive and healing to focus on during those times that were rather stressful for me. And so since then, I've continued to create cartoons and kind of branch out their messages of hope and healing. And they're very whimsical and playful and fun and really, you know, tell a story of, you know, having a positive approach to life, whatever life brings you.
They're so delightful.
Anne-Marie, where can we see these cartoons? You have a website?
Yes, I have a website. It's Mighty Mirth, MIRTH.com. I'm on Facebook, Mighty Mirth, and then Instagram, Mighty, and then _ Mirth.
And where else do you display them besides that? I mean, do you syndicate these in any way? Or
I haven't done that yet. I think I've been, this is the fun, kind of funny story for me about Mighty Mirth, is I have been sort of stopped around getting Mighty Mirth out into the larger world. And there's lots of ideas I have for that. And all of a sudden, with this situation that we're facing, I feel like Mighty Mirth has been waiting for this moment, because the messages and ideas are just so perfect for what people are going through now. So that, I guess, to fast forward to a question you're contemplating for the end, is that when this is over, that's one thing I do see myself doing, is taking action on all the ways I've thought of getting Mighty Mirth out there in the world, because it just seems like the perfect time. So there's some of my items are in Esther's store, and then right now, and then also at the Healing Center where I work in Chesterton at Thrive Healing Center, we have some of the cards and the Mirth flag for sale there.
Now, is Mighty Mirth kind of an alter ego of you?
I'm thinking that yes, because in this time, you know, you start to look at, okay, who am I in this world, and what, you know, what don't I want to lose in the face of, you know, people are afraid and anxious and you know, some people kind of freaking out, like, who do I want to be in that world? And it is somebody who brings joy and laughter and positivity. So that's very possible.
Now, with the COVID-19 pandemic going on, how's that impacted you, like, on your day-to-day things of what you're doing in terms of your own creativity and also your outside work?
If I can say, Anne-Marie is also a really gifted healer, and so I'm sure that's being impacted, your clients.
So I can't do hands-on healing. So that's, I've been reaching out to people a lot and having phone conversations. I just kind of want to know that my flock is okay, you know, so just checking in with people and, you know, contributing whatever I can to, you know, just conversations about, you know, the perspective that we have on this and what do we do with our days, which for me, I'm pretty adaptable that way. I have lots of ideas and things to work on with Mighty Mirth, so I can always put myself into that. And so that is a lot of what I've been doing. And just, you know, I think like a lot of other people, just reflecting and taking stock, clearing out clutter or cleaning out a closet, you know, doing things like that, that you know, we just don't have time to do in our normal everyday lives. We get so busy.
That's for sure. What are you looking forward to doing after COVID-19 kind of goes its way?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing who we are on the other side of this intense moment, because what I see is people, just humanity in a really positive way. I took this walk through my neighborhood the other day, and people are finding ways to communicate with murals and decorations in their windows. And I think like the sense of community, like, that awareness has really become more heightened for a lot of people. And so where will that take us? Where will that we be with that in a year? And I'm looking forward to exploring that and seeing what evolves, you know, for the communities that I move in.
Taking better care of our resources.
Any final thoughts, Anne-Marie, before we wrap up?
Just that I think it's really important that whatever happens, one of my cards, the first one I sort of revisited, telling a story, a Mighty Merv story along with it, is the oopsatunity, that in life, you know, we have oops, and we can turn them into an oopsatunity, which is looking for the opportunity in the oops. And so that's how I am approaching this time. Like, what is the oopsatunity? And I really encourage other people to do that as well, because it's a word that makes people laugh. And so when there's a problem, I think laughter is a very good space to be in, because it leaves us open to the oopsatunity.
I know. I love what's Mighty Merv, when you have all these Mighty Merv says, you know, like the journey of 1,000 smiles begins with yours. I mean, I love all these little Mighty Merv says.
Yeah, it's kind of like from Simon Says when Mighty Merv took that on.
I know. It's adorable.
Well, Anne-Marie, we appreciate you coming on our show. That's Anne-Marie Marty from Mighty Merv, and also is a healer. Thanks so much for coming on Art of the Air today and sharing your background.
Thank you. I look forward to hearing all the interviews.
Thank you. Take good care.
And our next guest on our special edition of the COVID for Art on the Air is Laura Marie Panazzo. Welcome to Art on the Air.
Thank you so much for having me.
Aloha.
So tell us a little bit about what your art is like, that I know you're a painter and sculptor.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it has been kind of like an amplification of what I used to consider hope. I think hope has been a theme in my artwork for as long as I've been creating, and hope is amplified way more than it ever has been in my work right now. I also am, bound to using recycled materials to make my sculptures, but that has taken on a higher level of meaning, because it truly is a necessity to reuse everything that we're using right now, because there's nothing open. I can go nowhere to get new supplies or create something that I have to purchase from a store. I just have to have it in
you
my
have to be
present.
Resourceful. Yeah.
So the recycling and the resourcefulness and the hope factor are enormous.
Working on something now?
I am working on something right now. And it's, I feel most of us humans feel the undeniable need for the love of the supernatural. You know, even if a person doesn't believe in any other thing, they could just believe in Mother Earth or a higher power of nature or existence. But the higher power love and the belief of needing and receiving love from the divine is big and real for me right now. So I started to make a Madonna. I am Italian, and I lived many years in Italy, and I still feel connected to the Mother Mary. I kind of look at her as like the lady in the sky,
yes,
like the mother of all human beings, of all people. And I'm working on a Virgin Mary right now that is made out of butternut bread wrappers for her veil and for her clothing. And the understructures of all my sculptures actually have plastics, like water bottles and Gatorade bottles, just put together, duct taped and drilled together, and then layered with clay on top to form the actual bust sculpture. So Mother Mary right now, just as the universal mother of mankind and the world, is what I'm working on right now.
What size is she?
So she's a bust, like a traditional bust sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
life-size, looks like you or me, just any human being, absolutely life-size. She has a beautiful crown, which I'm making out of basically recycled tuna fish cans. Mm-hmm. Pound them out and cut them up, and she's absolutely beautiful. There's another one I'm working on. It's the angel of the world, basically, and it's made out of Play-Doh containers. I've been making lots of Play-Doh with my little guy, who's 3 years old, and we're just reusing all the colorful caps and the beautiful colors that we love so much from the Play-Doh containers. So I've got, like, images of hope, love, and healing, just in form of an angel and, like, Mother Mary, all from recycled, you know, things that my family is using. Of course, there's non-secular things I work on, too. I'm working right now also on coral reefs. They're just driftwood put together to make, like, a sculpture of the coral reefs and what they used to look like. Because, of course, you know, they've lost all their color now. And I'm just trying to revisit the elements of hope.
You know, quickly tell us how this the crisis has kind of impacted you. You know, you're obviously working in your studio and doing lots of creative things. But anything else? And maybe, like, what you're looking forward to after it's over.
Well, she's got you have two children at home. Enzo, I can't believe Enzo's 14. And then when you just said Leo is 3, did that went by so fast?
It went by so fast, and it's been so hard because, you know, we love learning in our house. We love school. We love our friends. And, you know, the boys miss their friends. Enzo misses his friends and his learning environment, and Leo misses his little preschool people and his little environment. I've actually had to resort to working in the middle of the night because my boys, you know, I feel they need me to be there for them and to guide them through the scary time, uncertain time. So my days actually revolve around the boys, and then at night, and I am exhausted, but it is a need that I must create. Then I retreat to the studio at night now during this time.
What are you looking forward to after this is all over with?
Oh, I'm looking forward to everybody hugging each other again. Sure, I love everybody. That I really love people. And I miss everybody. I miss it.
Well, Laura Marie, we really appreciate you sharing what you're doing during this time, and we'll get you on for a full interview on Art on the Air. That was Laura Marie Panazzo, painter, sculptor, and mother. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so grateful to just be a part of it. I'll be looking forward to every single second of everything when this all passes over.
All righty.
Love you bunches.
Take care.
Love you guys. Thank you so much.
And we're back with our next guest, Mitch Gregory, musician, composer here on Art in the Air. Mitch, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Tell us a little bit about your music, your compositions, you know, what you do and everything like that.
Well, I've got a band called Halo Moon, and we do psychedelic rock, blues, jazz, flamenco, all within kind of a rock context, and lots of improvisation.
Excellent.
They are excellent.
And obviously, this whole COVID-19 thing is impacting what you're able to do. So tell us a little bit how that does not only impact your band and your stuff, but what are you doing during this?
Are you rehearsing online?
We're not rehearsing online. We haven't figured that out. The main impact is no rehearsals. 3 gigs have been canceled. And we're about 3/4 of the way through our CD recording it. And, of course, rehearsals, recording, overdub sessions, everything's on hold now.
Okay. Are you doing compositions or anything?
You know, one of the things I'm missing because of this social isolation thing is the collaborative creative aspect. Sure, I'm working on songs and we're working on sending demos to each other, that kind of thing. But we're not in the room creating, working on arrangements. And, of course, we're not in front of people creating live, and I really miss that.
Being live and working together is really the best process, I think, overall. Lacking that, I'm sure that's difficult. So how are you doing personally? Like, what are you doing now that you're kind of sheltering in place?
You know, how are all the grandchildren? How are you staying in touch?
Just by phone. I offered, because they're out of school, and I offered to step up and be more of a babysitter kind of a thing, but fortunately, my kids are not taking advantage of that. I think they're watching out for me. You know, you can talk to the grandkids on the phone and checking on them, but don't come over.
Yeah.
Yeah. but it's fine.
We might, you know, we might have the virus but be asymptomatic, so...
Exactly, right. Point of view, they could have it, and they would be worried about giving it to me.
Sure, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly, right. Yeah, you're right, yeah.
So, Mitch, what are you looking forward to after this is all over with? Something you're craving to do but can't do because of the pandemic?
Well, basically, just what I mentioned. Let's get the group together, hopefully in front of an audience, and let's just let that creative musical spirit flow through us and create some music.
Finish that CD.
And finish the CD. That's huge. So huge. Yeah.
Do you have a website?
We have a page on Reverb Nation, reverbnation.com and Halo Moon.
And you don't have any CDs out, or you're still working on this? Is this the first one?
This will be the first one with this band. Yeah, I've got some other stuff, but sound samples, works in progress are up on that Reverb Nation page.
And so where are some of the venues locally you've played at?
A lot of them were in Chicago. We played at the Nest several times. Love that, of course. Fox Factory. Oh, yeah, that's the best. That last gig that we did at your place at the Nest.
Oh, my gosh, that was so wildly fun.
That was so fun. That was a landmark. So, you know, just some very art galleries and things like that. There's a Tap House in Lake Station we played at. But we're not so much worried and concerned about that. We just want to be able to be a creative entity.
Well, thanks so much for sharing your time with us and how this pandemic is impacting you, Mitch. That's Mitch Gregory, musician and composer in the band.
All around a wonderful person.
Mitch, thank you for being on Art on the Air.
Well, thanks, Larry. Thanks.
And our next guest on our special edition of Art in the Air is the one and only Dorothy Graydon, who we've had on the show many times before. Welcome to the show, Dorothy.
Thanks, Larry. Thank you.
Aloha.
Thank you, Esther.
So tell us a little bit what your art is like and how it's inspired by.
Oh, well, it's inspired by, I hike out west and I hunt for the petroglyphs and the pictographs, which are ancient carvings on the rock wall. And my art mostly is inspired by that. I also am a scuba diver, so I put a lot of fish in my pictures. Sometimes they're hidden and you have to look for them, but they're in most of my pictures as well. Ocean creatures.
Very good. Yeah, and if you've seen it, it's extraordinarily intricate work. I mean, it's just amazing. So the other part we want to ask you about is, well, now with this COVID-19 pandemic, everyone's sheltered in place. How's that influencing your art? Are you being more creative? And also you personally?
I know you probably had to cancel making your paper, which I know you rely on.
Yes, I did, but I'm not supposed to make it now until July, so hopefully by July things will be better. I did have to cancel a major hiking trip to New Mexico a couple weeks ago. I was going to be hiking with my friends down in southern New Mexico and southern Texas, and we were going to camp and hike and look for petroglyphs, but we're hoping maybe in the fall we'll be able to do that, so that's on hold right now. But I'm still hiking every day. I go out into the woods by myself and hike for about 3 miles every morning, rain or sleet or snow or whatever, because it really gets me started in the morning. And I'm also redoing my website, so that's taking hours and hours. My brother's helping me do it. I'm switching over to a different website. And my art, I'm just doing more and more hours. You know, I was doing 4 to 5 hours a day on my art, and now it's more like 9 to 10 hours with my art. So I am producing more, although it's interesting because my friends say that it's looking a little bit more serious these past couple weeks, you know. And I guess it's just subconscious. I'm just not picking up on that. But I guess maybe there is some...
Were they meaning your color palette or the subject matter?
Subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they say that the faces that I'm making are looking a little bit more serious than they did, a couple months ago. So, but the colors are still wild. There's still colors of the coral reef that I see in the ocean. And because I love color, so... Yeah.
What are you looking forward to doing after this is all over with?
What am I doing? Well, let's see. I'll probably go on that hike in New Mexico, and I will just continue making more art. I'm getting some silk scarves made by a company in Canada that's been doing some beautiful silk scarf work for me. And just, you know, keeping busy afterwards, just same kinds of wonderful things that I've been doing. I never get bored. You know, artists just don't get bored.
I know, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Going and just recreating things. And my art is changing a little bit. We're kind of working on icons right now, mythological icons. So if you go to my website, you'll see some new work.
And tell them that website address, please, Dorothy.
Oh, it's just dorothygraden.com.
Very good. And Dorothy Graden is dorothygraden.com. So you can go there and see your work. Any final thoughts you have to share with our audience?
Oh, well, you know, I just like to ask people to try and stay positive. And if they've been putting something off, like if they wanted to learn how to watercolor, there are so many different things on YouTube that you can go to, or anything that you've been wanting to do, this is your chance to do it. You know, get out there, and if you've been wanting to do some kind of an art or clean your closet or whatever, now's the time to do it, because whoever has the time to do anything like that? And so boredom actually creates creativity. Boredom influences creativity. So if you're sitting around doing nothing, let your mind wander, and your boredom will turn to creativity. It's a proven fact. So you need that downtime to be creative. Let everybody try and do some of that.
Right.
You know, and stay in contact with friends. I've been staying in contact with a lot of friends and artist friends and that kind of thing, too.
And so many things are being shown online, you know, as far as art projects go or concerts. So it's been kind of a wealth of the art, you know, carrying us through right now.
That's right. And there are virtual concerts out there. I listened to one yesterday, which was really good. It's so interesting to see these so-called, you know, famous rock stars just sitting in their home studio or in their bedroom or their living room just playing on a piano or just playing on a guitar or whatever. And it's really kind of cool because they really don't have that good a voice sometimes.
It's all part of the processing.
Well, you know, who's doing concerts is Josh McLean, too. So be on the lookout for those. He's done a few of them now.
And Marcus Mumford is doing almost daily talks and concerts from his home studio in London. And the other day he showed his tape collection, and I thought it was going to be musical tape. No. He's got duct tape and masking tape and electrical tape. So it's just fun listening to some of these people that, you know, you go to their concerts and they sound so good on the microphone, and then they sing at home and they just sound just like we do.
As part of the whole processing. Well, Dorothy's prescription for everyone out there is to be creative, whether it's cleaning your closet or doing watercolors. Dorothy, thank you so much for being on the show. That's Dorothy Graden, who is a phenomenal painter, scuba diver, hiker, and everything like that. Thanks for being on Art in the Air.
Well, thanks for inviting me, guys.
Take good care, Dorothy.
Yeah, you too. Stay well.
Now we're moving on to our next guest in a special edition on Art on the Air. Rochelle Rose, how are you? Welcome to Art on the Air.
Aloha, welcome.
Hi, Larry and Esther. It's so good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about your art in your normal life. What you do and how you do it.
Well, in my normal life, I'm a painter and a sculptor, and my studio is at home. I have a home studio, so I spend my time, you know, working on my art in my home studio and connecting with shows, and then I kind of bring my art out into the world. So I'm kind of already home-based to begin with.
And where do you exhibit? Do you exhibit your art, and where you do that?
Yeah, I exhibit my art this last December. I got to participate in the art fair, Art Miami Fair, in December. And I just saw Esther in
Indianapolis,
February, in March, yeah, at our state capitol for
congratulations.
Congratulations to you. That was
Thank
really
you.
that was really fun too.
It was,
you know.
Yeah, we both did the Hoosier. We're both exhibited with the Hoosier Women Artists.
Excellent. So, tell me, Rochelle, how's this impacting you, the COVID-19? What's changed in your routine, both in terms of art and your personal life? How's this hit you?
Well, like I said, I had a home studio to begin with. So it has, like, a lot of the events have been postponed. They haven't been canceled so much for me as postponed. So, you know, I do have feelings of uncertainty about that, but I'm practicing staying positive because, in a lot of ways, this is a gift for me. I mean, I'm always wanting more studio time, and here I have it. You know, we have so much uninterrupted studio time. And I mean, I normally kind of, my art practice is kind of seasonally based too. Like in the winter, I tend to go inward and I produce and explore and try out new ideas. And then I usually do show more in the spring and summer. I kind of come out and share my work more. And so, I don't know, talk to me in a month. Because right now, you know, it's kind of, it's a gift to really, really be able to focus on what's important.
So that brings me to the next question is, what do you miss doing or looking forward to doing after we get through this whole COVID-19 crisis?
Well, seeing people. I mean, I've been doing like virtual studio visits through FaceTime with friends and, you know, working on private commissions. But yeah, when this is over, I mean, I look forward to giving my friends a hug and, you know, going to exhibits in person.
Do you have a website that people can view your work at?
I do. It's RachelleRose.com. It's kind of tricky to spell. It's RachelleRose.com.
And I assume you also have a Facebook presence, professional one, or?
I do. And I mean, that's been helpful in this time. I'm Rachelle Rose Fine Art on both Facebook and Instagram. And people are, you know, really coming out and sharing the art that they're making, life in the time of Corona.
No kidding. Any final thoughts for us today, Rachelle?
I want to thank you guys because I think, you know, right now it's crucial to find new ways to connect with people, because the thing about this isolation is just like losing that human contact. And, you know, it's making me communicate in ways that I didn't communicate before. And things like this, where we can touch base and have a bit of human connection, I think are super important right now.
Well, and for me, I see you every day when I look at your painting, and it's always been important to me, but it's taken on, all the artwork from my friends that I have around me has taken on such a bigger, deeper personal meaning for me, and I feel like I'm surrounded by them, and it helps, you know, it helps to look
like
at your painting.
Yeah, it's like having them in your space.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Rachelle, we appreciate you coming on our special edition of Art on the Air, and it's been wonderful to hear what you're doing and everything. So that was Rachelle Rose, painter who is now surviving the COVID-19 crisis. Thank you so much for coming on.
Aloha,
hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now our next guests are Michelle and Martin Schaefer, no strangers to the Art on the Air audience. Welcome for coming on our special COVID special.
Aloha, sweetheart.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
So first start with you, Michelle. Tell us a little bit about you're a singer-songwriter and do jewelry. Tell us a little bit about what you do and everything like that.
I'm a singer-songwriter. I go by Michelle Schaefer. I play guitar. I write anywhere kind of Americana and maybe something like Chrissy Hind, Lucinda Williams, mashed together, and I have a line of anodized aluminum, very bright, colorful jewelry with my husband, Marvin. We've been in business together for almost 30 years.
Excellent.
And there's a wow, wonderful. That's insane. It's like 30 years. Like,
I don't even feel 30 years old.
I have no idea where the time went, honestly, and presently, I'm getting ready to release some new music and learning to record myself. Marvin built me a recording studio.
Excellent.
Unfortunately, we have something that you can work in here in the studio.
Except Pro Tools isn't launching because the internet seems to be overloaded. So I'm trying to figure that out.
So, Michelle, have you...
But a lot of new music and new work coming out, so that's very exciting.
So have you found that with the COVID-19 that you're having more time to do some songwriting?
I have more time because we've had shows that have been canceled. Art Fair's American Craft Council show in Atlanta was canceled. Lohmeyer, which is in St. Louis, Lohmeyer Sculpture Garden, that is usually Mother's Day weekend. That is already canceled. My galleries are closed down. Many of them have shut their doors, so they put holds on their March orders, and we're waiting to see what's going to happen with April orders. So we've been using the time to deep clean the studio, kind of regroup, go inside and figure out what's important. Clean closets, clean out drawers, clean the house. So
that's
and we have our teenager at home.
Well, there you go. That should be
so
kind of fun.
Homeschooling.
Marvin, tell us a little bit about your work also, your sculptor work.
Quite fortunately, a lady saw my work on the internet and asked me if I would do a project for her. This is about, what, 3 months, two and a half months ago. And I started on the project, and she has consented to continue, even though it's something that she's going to use to have an open house with. It's a sculpture of five race cars, basically, Lamborghini and Ferrari, Porsche, Maserati. Yeah, they're big. They're like 4 feet, 3 and 4 feet. They're basically cut out of aluminum sheet and then rendered to look like the cars.
Oh, excellent.
And then she's going to hang those in her foyer.
Wow. So just before we get too far into it, tell us a little bit, for both of you, website access that they can find out about what you're doing. Michelle first, I guess.
Well, the problem is not so much, I think, website access, because people don't have anywhere to go.
I know, but I'm asking for your web address.
It's q3art.com.
The letter Q, yeah. number 3art.com.
And that'll get just to both of you?
People don't have social engagements that they want to have, you know, new earrings for, because they're in their homes, and that's good. That's very good. It's hard for us right now, but things are not, you know, at a total
right. Still. That will change.
Right, and it's good for us to regroup and to get new designs, new concepts that have never been tried before, that we couldn't do because we were so busy producing.
Right.
And, you know, so there's always a good side to, you know, inner work.
We may be idling, but we are not idle.
Oh, there you go.
You can find my music. I'm on Spotify, YouTube, Michelle Schaefer Music, Schaefer. I'm on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook. And you can find me on CD Baby.
And she has some absolutely gorgeous new pieces that are just so mesmerizing.
I have a new song, Love Never Fails, which isn't recorded yet, but I may go live with it.
Are you thinking about doing a virtual concert?
I absolutely am. I'm preparing to do that.
Very good. Finally, what are you looking forward to doing that you can't do now because of COVID-19?
Oh, wait, I want to ask, have you written anything in the last couple of weeks?
Yes, I actually have written something that I've been working on, and it's for film brief. I've been working with somebody in Australia, Fallen Highway Studios.
Yeah, they're shut down too.
And he shut down, but he's been working with music supervisors, and we finished two haunting covers, that he has music supervisors asking for these two songs, Moondance. It's a haunting version. And then there's another song, Heaven is a Place on Earth. That's another haunting version. And what I've done with these two songs is I've been playing chord progressions with harmonics, which is kind of a classical guitar technique, but doing it through on the electric and then changing the sounds with delay reverb. And so, and then I have a new song called Burning Away, and that is using that technique as well. And that I wrote in November.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about, that's just about finished, ready to be released. But I was in the film and TV sync writing course, and I have a bunch of music that I plan on releasing soon.
That's so exciting.
So anyway, so the thing I wrote, I just wrote kind of like a fusion of medieval Irish and rock song for this brief, for film. And I've started recording, but it's not finished.
Well, it sounds like you're keeping pretty busy during the COVID-19 thing. I would like to thank you guys for being on our special edition of Michelle and Marvin Schaefer. And you can find them online. We appreciate you being on Art in the Air, our special edition.
Love you both. Well, take good care.
Thank you so much. Love you guys. Take care.
Yeah, take care.
Thanks, everybody. Be safe and be well.
And our next guest in the special edition of Art on the Air is the former host of this show, Melissa Washburn. Welcome to it.
Aloha, Melissa.
Hi, thanks.
Well, Melissa, the first question we ask is just tell people who may not remember, what you do as an illustrator and artist?
Yeah, well, my background is as a fine artist, but I ended up doing a lot of graphic design after graduate school, and in the past 10 years have really shifted my practice to commercial illustration. So that's the main thrust of my work now, is more commercial work, although, you know, I do both graphic design and illustration with a focus on nature. So I do a lot of botanicals, I do a lot of birds, insects, animals, things like that, and I work for nonprofits, parks departments, things like that for the most part, as well as selling my own work for various markets.
And you have books on how to illustrate, too, out there, I believe.
Yeah, I just completed my third book with Quarto Publishing Group, and it's part of three books in their How to Draw or Draw Like an Artist series. And so the first one was 100 Flowers and Plants, the second one was 100 Realistic Animals, and the one that's scheduled to release later this year is 100 Birds, Butterflies, and Other Insects.
Ooh, so they're just, yay.
Yeah, they're just sort of step-by-step, you know, like 6 to 8 steps per drawing. It's kind of aimed at the craft market, students, that kind of thing. So they're great intro source books for people learning to draw more realistically.
I saw those books at the Chesterton Arts Center. They are great. And it's such detailed work that you do in terms of that. So let's talk about how this COVID-19 is impacting your life as an artist and also just personally.
Yeah, well, and you can't really separate the two, can you? We're all looking at working differently. You know, one thing that hasn't changed, I work at home. I have a studio in my home. I'm used to working at home. So I have a routine. So when I get up in the morning, when I work out, when I eat my meals, and when I fit in different types of work, whether personal work or client work. So I'm trying to stick to that as much as possible. I have had a couple projects canceled. And, of course, my family is home with me now. My high school age daughter is doing her schooling online at home. My husband, who is a college professor, is teaching his classes remotely from home. So having company during the day definitely interrupts my workflow. And, of course, you know, having a higher stress level and being preoccupied with everything that's going on and trying to pay attention, I just kind of tried to be kind with myself in not being as productive as normal. You know, it's not normal times.
Right, that's true. So what are you looking forward to once this thing is over with, you know, now that you've been sheltering in place for some time?
Well, I think that unfortunately with economics and living in a capitalist country, unfortunately, I think things are going to slow down for me for a while. That's just reality. But a lot of things that I've put in place the last couple of years, whether it's earning royalties on the books, or getting more work out into the licensing market, I'm hoping some of those things are going to start paying off for me, even if not as well as they would have otherwise. It's other income streams that hopefully will be generating for me and kind of keep me afloat. I'm very fortunate that our household, the way we're set up, I can weather a little bit of up and down in my cash flow. So I intend to stick with this and keep doing what I'm doing. And I'm very, very grateful for that. You know, I see a lot of pushes for artists to be creative and share with the world and hunker down and make something great. And I feel a little bombarded by that. It's a lot, and it's a lot to ask of creative people who are dealing with families and and everything else. So, you know, I'm trying to sort of make some art for a rainy day. But again, I think, you know, making sure people in my community are safe and fed and have what they need is the priority right now. And art will be waiting for me when everything goes back to the new normal, whatever that looks like.
Whatever that looks like is right.
Do you have any final thoughts for us, Melissa?
You know, I think everyone needs to take care of themselves and take care of others as much as they can. I've been spending a lot of time just checking in on friends and family near and far. And I think that that connection with people has become a little more first and foremost in my life. And I think it helps me and it helps them. So just stay connected to each other. I think that's the best thing we can do for everybody right now. Being sheltering in place doesn't mean not being connected to people. So.
That's great. Well, we appreciate you coming on your old show as the host. That's Melissa Washburn, former host of Art on the Air and a graphic designer. I appreciate you sharing your time at what you're doing there.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
No, thank you, Melissa. Take good care.
You too.
And our next guest on our special edition of Art in the Air, Josh McLean, cellist, and he's located in Oakland, California, though he's originally from Michigan City. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Josh.
Tell us a little bit about your background, what you do as a cellist.
Yeah, so I grew up in the Northwest Indiana region, and I moved out to the Bay Area, California in 2012. I just packed up my Volvo and drove across the country. I didn't have a job, but I had a bunch of friends out here, so I was staying at a friend's house, sleeping on their couch, and just kind of looking for work. I've always played the cello, but it's always been this struggle of how do you make your living versus I really love this thing, and I'd love to make my living doing this, but how do those two things intersect? And so I've done a lot of different work. I worked in the tech industry for a while, in sort of marketing and advertising, but I was always still putting on concerts and playing and gigging on the side. And then in 2016, I actually quit my job to pursue music full-time, and that's kind of what I've been doing since then. But it's funny, just before the COVID-19 coronavirus came to front, I was kind of looking to get back into the tech industry because I have a one-year-old, and I need to have a larger source of income. But the cool thing about, I mean, this, first of all, the COVID-19 crisis is a crisis, and so it's very scary. It's shutting down the country. The economic damage is unimaginable at this point. But it's been positive for me in the way that it's forced me to focus back in on my music. And so I haven't been able to go work with clients. I'm a video producer as well, so that all my shoots got canceled. Most of my editing gigs got canceled. And so I was trying to figure out, what do I do? And so I thought I could still play music and I could play online. And so that's what I've been doing recently in the last couple of weeks, is putting on online concerts that have been very successful.
And where can we see those concerts? What's the, like on Facebook, or what place can we see those?
Sure. I've been live streaming them from my Facebook music page.
And what's the address for that?
That is facebook.com/JoshuaMclain.music. And that's MCCLAIN. You could also go to my website, joshuamclain.net, and sign up for my email list. And that's the best way to stay up to date, because I send out email reminders when concerts will happen.
Very good. So you can hear our Michigan City native who's out in Oakland doing concerts. So how else has this COVID-19 crisis kind of impacted you in terms of what you're doing? You talked a little bit about that, but even personally, how's that obviously not doing concerts?
Yeah, so I think like a lot of people, well, first, actually, I'm a little embarrassed to say I thought the whole thing was blown out of proportion. And I think a lot of people did. We weren't necessarily getting the information that we needed to get, so we're making assumptions based on things that are happening on the other side of the world. And so for a long time, I was like, I'm not really worried about it. And it was all the way up until basically the San Francisco Bay Area was completely shut down that I realized the impact that this was going to have, and that this was actually a very serious illness that was making people very sick and killing people. So at the very beginning, I went through a process of kind of like fear, you know, what's going to happen to the world? What's going to happen to the economy? How are people going to make money? That was one of my biggest worries, was the economic impact that this will have on our country and the entire world. And what are, you know, how are people going to feed themselves? Where are they going to sleep if they can't pay?
And you have a baby. I mean,
yeah, and
it changes everything.
Absolutely. So I had a lot of fear. But then when I'd wake up in the morning, the world was still here, and I was waking up next to my wife and my one-year-old son and our little dog, Luigi, that I realized that as long as I have my family, I'm okay. And so since then, we've actually really enjoyed being holed up in our house together. We've got a little backyard, which in the Bay Area, you know, not everybody has a backyard. And so we've been spending a lot of time together, and it's really nice. Actually, been one of the as a couple and as parents.
What are you looking forward to after the crisis is over?
I'm really excited about my music. Like I said, I was almost going to abandon my music career to follow something that's more lucrative, which is video production.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with what you're doing and your online concerts available through Facebook. And I appreciate that, Josh. Take care of that family and that young one there. And,
Larry, you're gonna have to hear Josh's music. It is so it's so innovative, but it's just so deep and so moving. I like it. It's like the background to my life. I just love it so much. And his recent
thank you, Esther.
Yeah, no, his recent CD, Coming Home, Larry, you just have to hear it. It just changes your life. It's just so beautiful.
Excellent. Well, Josh McLean, thank you for coming on Art in the Air and sharing your experience during this time.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Josh.
And we're back on Art in the Air. We are now here with Lou Hook, who does multiple things from drawing to glass to even raising mushrooms that are both artistic and edible. So welcome to the show, Lou.
Howdy. Thank you.
Aloha, Lou.
Howdy.
So tell us a little bit about your art in general.
Both my parents are both artists. My dad's a ceramic artist. My mom's a paper artist. I kind of feel like my art kind of stems from what their whole principle is. It's kind of like using their art to educate the public and really bring them closer to nature. And I feel like that is really at the root of everything I do, whether it's artistic or not. Generally, I feel like everything I do is artistic. But yeah, so that's kind of where I go with that.
Where are you located at?
I'm located at LaPorte, Indiana.
Okay.
We're like north of LaPorte. So we're out in the country, but yeah, we're on a farm, family farm. It's about 11 acres. We only use about 3 acres for like tillable crops, and then the rest is a swamp with woods, which we harvest. wood crops such as timber and firewood, and then we also harvest, my mom harvests paper fiber from our swamp too. So,
well, tell us about the mushrooms. That's your most current project, isn't it?
Yeah. So I've been doing that for about 6 or 7 years now. Started as kind of like a hobby and then kind of just blossomed into a small business that I'm trying to really turn it into. And yeah, so I'm growing a number of different edible and medicinal mushrooms. And then I've also been dabbling in using mushrooms as a micro-remediation type of filter. So it filters out pollutants from water or either groundwater or generally anything. But yeah, so it's used as like a biofilter and it removes contaminants from either the ground or water.
That's so beautiful and amazing and one of those world changers. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been a work in progress and I feel like it's still ongoing and I'm still like trying to, you know, build on that, my experience with that, because I feel like that's a really important thing, especially with the crisis we're in right now with the COVID-19. That's just a virus. But at the same time, we also have all these different problems with the world that we're living in right now, such as, you know, contamination and human waste and all these sort of things. And obviously, the news is probably mostly focusing on the virus, but we also have these other issues that we're trying to deal with.
So it's really like art with a purpose, you might say.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you also do glasswork. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I feel like that's more so been kind of like on the sidelines lately, but yeah, definitely do that. I've been dabbling in that more so. That's not necessarily, as I said, my main focus.
Right. You started that one, though, really, really young.
I did. I actually originally started flame working glass, which is basically just making beads on like a torch, as a homeschooling project. And then I really kind of have just kept that as a hobby through the rest of my high school experience. And then, just recently I've done some glass blowing too as well, which has been really fun.
A lot of those first creations, I love them so much.
Yeah.
And also, you were the one that showed me how to do it. So I made my first glass bead under your tutelage. So.
Yeah, nice. It's a fun thing. And I love just like the sort of control, but at the same time, lack of control. Because glass is such a fluid material that you really you can only do so much with it, and then you're basically just leaving it alone. So I really love that sort of natural thing. And I feel like that kind of ties into the rest of my art, is because, like, crochet, which is another of my main focuses, is that same sort of way. Most of anything, like sculpture or anything that you're making with crochet, is fabric. So you can, like, touch it, you can manipulate it. It's very fluid without being an actual fluid.
So what kind of drawing do you do? What's your
drawing? I feel like not so much lately, but yeah, I do a number of different, like, you know, just basically, I guess, things in my head, you know. I don't necessarily, I guess I've dabbled in sort of drawing realistic things as well, but kind of, for a while, I would just draw these sort of, like, imaginary machines, right? So they would be this sort of, like, just different contraptions that would do something just completely crazy, you know, because this is, like, teenager mind just going off the rails. But it would be, like, a machine to create wool or something like that, and how I would imagine that.
You know, your father, while he deals in ceramics and a lot of natural forms, his drawings tend to take on a more surrealistic kind of bent as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the one thing, too, is how is this COVID-19 actually impacting what you do? I mean, obviously, you live on a family farm, so there's actually quite a bit to do there, but has it impacted you in other ways?
Well, I mean, so I work at a local deli, David's Delicatessen. You might have heard of it. It's in New Buffalo, but so that's closed down right now just because of, you know, Michigan regulations. They can't have it open. They're trying to reopen for delivery only. But so obviously work-wise, I haven't been going to that. But that's only been for like a week or so. I feel like that's not necessarily impacting me too much. And yeah, as you said, like the farm keeps me busy, you know. I mean, like mushrooms never stop. Mushrooms keep you running behind them because that mycelium is just running so fast through whatever you're growing it in. So, yeah, I feel like there's not really any dull moment. For the effect of, like, what it's personally affected me, I feel like I have enough, like, supplies and that sort of thing stocked up, sterilizing solutions such as, like, rubbing alcohol and that sort of thing. I feel like that I've not been able to find that. So I have a lot of that stocked up, but that's kind of a concern of mine that I'm not going to be able to actually find that just because of the demand that we are now facing in the U.S. because people are buying more of it.
Hey, we have about 1 minute left here. Tell us about what you plan to do after this whole thing is lifted, you know, what you can't do and what you're looking to do right now.
Yeah, so I think really I'm just going to keep plugging away, you know. There's not really too much you can do besides limit your contact with other people, and I feel like
the farm naturally does that anyway.
And like we're out, you know, we're pretty much out in the middle of nowhere. Not really, but for the most part. We have to drive at least 10 minutes to get into a you know, hub of people. So it's really isolated as it is, which makes it easy to do that. It is kind of a little bit like of a drawback, like, oh, you know, I can't go out and, you know, see my girlfriend or hang out with friends or, you know, anything like that.
So that's what you're looking forward to do after this is all over with?
I would guess, yeah, yeah. My other concern is, like, I am turning 21 in June, and so I would hope to have, like, some sort of party at that, but at the same time, you know, unrealistic at the moment.
Well, thank you for being on this special edition of Art in the Air. That's Lou Hook, who's out in La Porte and doing a wonderful job with mushrooms, glass blowing, drawing, and everything. Thanks for coming on the show, Lou.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you. Aloha.
You've been listening to a special edition of Art on the Air. We'd like to thank all of our artists, guests, on what they're doing and sheltering in place during this COVID-19 issue. Art on the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m., Sundays at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. See you right here next week on Art on the Air 103.1 FM.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.